Welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
A question I want to ask you right now is, who are you becoming? Not who were you, not who are you right now, but who are you becoming? It's such a critical question for us to think about. Who are we becoming? A long time ago now, but when I was in primary school, I was in a youth orchestra, and I had some friends, and I was the only one from my school in this youth orchestra, and I loved it. It was just a great time of playing music, but also a great community. And then one week, I rocked up, and all my friends just stopped speaking to me, and I don't know what I did. I didn't know what I'd said, but this occurred for week after week after week, that these friends who I thought with friends were no longer connecting with me, were no longer talking to me. And when I try to find out, what have I done? There would be no answer. I'll just be given the cold shoulder. I'd be ignored. But there was one person out of all of these young people who, no matter whatever had happened, continued to speak to me. And I was getting pretty frustrated and annoyed. And I was thinking, do I keep on coming to this thing or not? But this one guy kept on talking to me. He didn't know what I'd done either, but he didn't really seem to care. And he continued to be my friend even when everyone else thought it was much cooler to not be. And it was interesting that maybe 5-10 years after that point, I went into a church where I was studying at the Bible College, and this friend from my youth orchestra days was there. And I'd realized in that moment when I saw him, I was like, oh, you're a Christian. And then suddenly, this moment from a long time ago made sense to me. He was a Christian, so of course he wasn't going to exclude someone for whatever they had done. He's a Christian, so he continued to speak life and to be a friend and to be a mate, even when others were ignoring me. And it was just such an obvious testimony to the power of Christ. This morning, in this moment, we're looking at the disciple John. Now, John is the person that wrote the Gospel of John, the book of John. He wrote some letters, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. They're very creative in their naming. And he also wrote the book of Revelation. And John is such an interesting person in the Bible. He followed Jesus from a young age. In his own words, he said that he's the disciple that Jesus loved, which I like how John describes himself in his own writing. There's a moment where when Peter and John are running to the tomb to see if Jesus is alive or dead, where John just keeps on in his writing mentioning that, oh, he beat Peter. It's just like, it's a classic younger brother move, I feel. Like, I really resonate with John, because it's the sort of thing I would do. Yep, I beat Peter to the tomb. I was quicker than him. I just love just how John writes some of these stories. But John is someone who followed Jesus probably from the age of 13. He saw all the works and the ways and the words of Jesus. And he was someone who we call a disciple, or maybe a different word is he was an apprentice. He was someone who followed Jesus and wanted to be like Jesus. And he's one of the few disciples that we have writing from in our Bible. This week I got a haircut, and it was an interesting moment because the barber comes across and he says, oh, Nick, is it okay if the apprentice comes over and kind of does your hair first? And I was kind of like, oh, I'm in a bit of a rush. I'd kind of prefer not to. This is all my thinking. I, of course, didn't say any of this. And I went, yeah, great, that'd be great. And so the apprentice comes over, hands in his pockets, and there was just this funny moment where the barber said, hey, mate, hands out of your pockets. And the young person went, and like laughed as if it was a joke. And then the barber got really serious and was like, no, take your hands out of your pockets. And he went, oh. But then he kind of didn't know what to do, so he just kind of stood there. But I love, because I'm looking for discipleship, because we're talking about it so much as a church, where we are people who hear the words of Jesus and obey the words of Jesus. And so when I see an apprentice, there was just such an interesting moment. I've never paid more attention to a haircut in my life. I've never learnt more about haircuts than this moment when the barber's going, this is what I'm doing. Here, you have a go. You won't be able to do anything wrong. And I'm thinking, okay, I hope not. And it was just so interesting, just even that small moment of like, take your hands out of your pockets. Because the barber knows for the apprentice that his posture determines his position. Are you here to learn? Are you ready? Or are you just mucking around? And so we look at John, and this is someone who's been an apprentice of Jesus, who maybe Jesus may have said something similar to. Hey, come on, get up early, we're going to pray. He had so many contact hours with Jesus. This is someone who's such an authority into the life of Christ. When Jesus is on the cross, he looks at John and he looks at his mum and he says, "Mum, this guy is now your son. John, this woman is now your mother." And from that day forward, John looked after Jesus' mum. He had a long ministry. He wrote the books I've mentioned earlier, the Gospel of John, the life of Jesus. He wrote letters and he wrote this apocalyptic literature in Revelation. And why I'm kind of saying all of this, if there's anyone in the New Testament that's important to take notice of, I would say it's John. Of course, you know, big characters and small characters all matter, but here's someone that's really, really journeyed with Jesus. And what I find so interesting when we get to the book of John in chapter 1, that out of everything John could have written, this is what he writes. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that's been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The Gospel of John is so much different to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all start with these birth narratives, but John, who must surely have known how Jesus was born, who must have spent so much time with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and yet the way he chooses to start his book is to focus on this beautiful image that God has always existed and God comes and the darkness cannot overcome. He says in verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." There's a theme in all of John's writings which kind of links into this question: who are you becoming? Who am I becoming? Who are we becoming? John has Jesus saying these words in chapter 15 of his book. Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." This word abide, it's John to the core. He has spent so much time with Jesus, and because he spent so much time with Jesus, to those he's writing to, he says, "Spend time with Jesus, abide in him." And it's a word we don't often use. Outside of a church context, I don't use the word abide. I'd probably say, you know, linger or dwell or camp even. But in the Gospel of John, he uses this word 41 times. And in the letter of 1 John, which is only 5 chapters, it's not a big letter, he uses this word 22 times. It's the Greek word meno, which means to remain, abide, to linger, to make it your home, to remain, to wait, to endure. It's this beautiful, strong word because John knows that where we linger is who we become. And I saw a picture this week which made me laugh, and it's on the screen right now, where there was a possum in Australia which broke into a bakery and it ate so many pastries it could no longer move anymore. And I think there might be a bit of that in what John's trying to say to us. That when we abide in one place, we become fixed, we become firm, and it becomes a part of us. We become where we abide. We become where we abide. And we know this to be true. This is the prayer every parent prays as their kid goes to school for the first time. God, please let them find good friends. Because we know, up to that point, we've had them with us this whole time. And the biggest risky faith thing a parent can do is now trust their kids to friends who have got different values, different backgrounds. And so we pray, "Oh God, please let them find good friends," because now our power is suddenly shifting. Because we know we become where we abide. And so we want for our kids, those who they spend time with, those who they linger with, to shape them in a way which is positive, which is life-giving, which is encouraging. So what does it look to abide with God? Why does John talk about it so often in his Gospels and in his writings? Because when we abide, it changes who we are. And there's so many ways we can do it. We spend time reading the Bible. We spend time in prayer. We spend time in worship like we do every Sunday morning and throughout the week. To abide sometimes looks like taking silence and just in that silence allowing God to speak. abiding as being a part of the church community. But with all this, I kind of hesitate because I could probably go on and you might start writing these down and they become like a tick list for you. But the truth is, abiding is doing these things but with purpose. It's being fully present and intentional in the moment, because I know I can read the Bible, but I'm not abiding. I can pray, I can spend even time in silence or in community, but my heart might be distant, my mind might be distracted, I might not be fully present. Because what stops us from abiding, from lingering in the presence of God and with others, is we're busy, we can sometimes be stressed, we can be fearful, we can have our bodies here and we can be in the moment, but our mind is distracted. And I feel for you guys who are watching online right now, because I know when I'm engaging with online content, it's so easy to get distracted. How many times have you checked your phone in this sermon? It's so easy because I'm not there looking at you. When you're in the room, there's a bit more of a peer pressure sort of thing. But when you're in this moment right now, are you abiding in the Word of God or are you distracted? We sometimes just, we think, I'm okay. I don't need to spend time with Jesus. It's all good. And John knows from personal experience the impact of abiding, of lingering, that those 3 years he spent with Jesus changed his life. So there's 3 things I want to share that can be the impact of abiding in Christ that I see in John's writings. There could be so much more, but I'm just going to stick with these 3. The first is that one of the impact of abiding is it creates a moment of confession for us. In 1 John, he says these words in his letter. He says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, if we claim to abide with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, we can abide with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." When we walk with Jesus, we walk in the light. When we abide and spend time with him, and it shines a light on that which is dark within us, and we come to a moment where we need to confess, and John talks about when we confess, we are forgiven. When we walk in the light, it shines a light, and I love that this is a relational dynamic, isn't it, that when we spend time with people, it reveals shortcomings within our lives. And this is why I try to be really careful about judging one another, because the reality is, if we are abiding with Christ, Jesus will do his work. And sometimes in church, we kind of get a bit suspicious of people and start thinking about how we can, maybe you should work on this sin, or maybe you should confess this. But I know for me, I've got a long list of things I need to work on. And I'm trusting the grace of Jesus Christ that he will do it in his time. He will do it in his way. And there are times where the wound of a friend will bring healing, but sometimes it brings distraction. Because when we abide in Jesus, in the light, he will purify us from all sin. There's this image throughout all of John's writings that he will wash us clean. So abiding leads us to confession, but it also leads us to confidence. In his letter of 1 John, he says these words, "And now, little children," which it's amazing that John was a little child with Jesus, and he gets to the point in his ministry where he's now writing to others and saying, "Hey, kids, abide in him so that when he appears, when Jesus comes back, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming." John knows that when we abide, when we linger, it leads to confession, it leads to us becoming clean, and it leads to confidence, that holiness leads to confidence. There's this beautiful story of during the American Civil War, there was a soldier who lost both his brother and his dad on the same day. And he wanted to see the president and plead his case. And he was given a pass to do so. So he went to the White House, but the guard on duty said, "You can't see the president. Don't you know there's a war going on? He's too busy. Now go away. Get back to the battle lines where you belong." And so the young soldier left and was disheartened. And he sat on a park bench not far from the White House when a little boy came near to him. And the little boy said, "Soldier, you look unhappy. What's wrong?" And the soldier was so disheartened. They looked at the little boy and began to spill his heart out to him. He said, his father, his brother, they've been killed in the war, and he wants to go home and look after his mum and the family and his sisters. And the little boy said, "I can help you." So he took the soldier by his hand, led him back to the front gate of the White House, and as they're walking through, the guards just let them walk through, and the soldier's like, what's happening? They won't stop. They go right to the front door. They walk in. They go inside. They're going past generals and high-ranking officials. No one's saying a word, and the soldier's thinking, why isn't anyone trying to stop me? And they reach the Oval Office, and the president's there working, and the little boy doesn't even knock on the door. He just walks straight in, and he leads the soldier into the room where Abraham Lincoln and his Secretary of State are looking over battle plans. And the president looks at the boy and at the soldier and says, good afternoon, Todd. Can you introduce me to your friend? And Todd Lincoln, the son of the president, said, Dad, this soldier needs to talk to you. And the soldier pleads his case before President Lincoln, and then right in that moment receives the exemption he desired. When we abide with Jesus, we have a confidence to approach Jesus. And I love this story because the son knows he has access to the father. The soldier doesn't. But the son has spent so much time abiding with the father that he will walk into the Oval Office of the White House to plead the case for the other. Abiding in Christ leads us to confess, it leads us to confidence, and it leads us to continue. Sorry, there had to be three C's, I don't know why. That we are people who continue the mission. That what we see in John is that instead of talking about, a manger in the hay, he talks about the God who sent Jesus, who sent the Holy Spirit, and who sends us. And to abide means we must continue. If we spend any time with Jesus, if we hear and obey his words, we will go out into the mission of this world. In 1 John chapter 2, he says, whoever says they abide in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. This is why we're doing a church plant, because we've spent so much time with Jesus that we can't keep what we're doing here just at Aberfoyle Park. We have to plant another church. Mark and Joy have to go. And can I tell you, this is going to be a beautiful, joyful thing, but also this is going to be sad because we're going to send so many people that we love because we love Jesus more. And they're going to go to a new place and they're going to start a new church. And there's going to be new people who are reached for Jesus because we have chosen to abide in Christ. And by abiding in Christ, we then continue the mission. And if you're watching this right now and you're not sure where you stand with faith and you're like, you're talking a lot about camping with a God, but I don't know if I even believe in a God, can I just challenge you? Give it a try. Keep on watching our services. Maybe come to church if you want. Maybe join a small group. Maybe pray. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen? What could happen if you actually abide with Jesus, spend time with him, and actually he makes you feel lighter, makes you feel confident, makes you feel like there's a purpose beyond yourself? I reckon it's worth a shot. And so who are you becoming? Because we become where we abide, where we linger, where we meditate, where we plant ourselves. And the question for us is, who are we becoming as a church? Are we becoming more like Jesus? Are we becoming more confident in him? Are we becoming more clean in him? Are we becoming more outward focused like him? And as I was preparing this message, I couldn't help but think, as a minister, I have done a lot of funerals. And one of the moments that always strikes me and reminds me about life is whenever there's the eulogy, people will talk for a long time. And sometimes the eulogies are easy and sometimes they're hard. But what a person's done often equates to one sentence in the eulogy. Mum worked here for a few years. Dad did this, moved to this office. But the majority of the eulogy isn't the job the person had, but it's the impact they had on their people's lives. The way they would treat them when they were down, the way that they would look out for them, the traditions, the moments that leave an emotional wake. It's not the job or even the house, but it's how they left us feeling. So who are we becoming? Because that radiates from our lives to others. And why is this so important? Because isn't living a life of confidence and approaching God good? Isn't continuing his mission so important? And John just knows, if we spend more time with Jesus, it won't just change our lives, it will change others' lives. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we want to spend more time with you, not to get something, not out of guilt, but just because we want to see you and spend time with you. Your word says of how good you are, and John says that you are love, you are light, and you are spirit, you are freedom, you are joy. So may this be a reminder right now to prioritize spending time with you. May we look to the Apostle John, and may you change our life. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.